Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
When it comes to pitching, it's speed, man.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can call us at 617-779-0985. And that is Vincent?
Phil Vincent, I believe his
Phil
name is.
Phil Vincent.
Yeah.
When the request of just having a Shred-a-thon theme song for the show came up, he came up and he just said, here we go.
Yep, and he did exactly what we asked him. We said we wanted to be gratuitous, completely over the top, and something that I know when you're recording it, you're making that, oh, yeah, you like that face as you're doing the solo. Oh, look at this.
You're shaking your head. You're like, yes.
Yeah,
like,
oh, you, oh. Just, you can't control. Like, oh, you thought that was it? Look at this. Oh.
They made the Jeff Tremaine, who was part of Big Brother and then did Jackass and all those movies. He made the Motley Crue movie, The Dirt, based on the book The Dirt. And it's good. It went fast and it's, you know, it comes and goes. It was good. But then watching that, because I just played that song, Motley Crue is not a good band. Motley Crue, and then it raises the point of at that point in time, I was a huge hair metal guy. I was a huge metal guy.
Yeah.
I never really liked Motley Crue. But if you think of the bands that were popular, like Motley Crue and Dokken.
No, Dokken was not popular. They that was just pure, like, nobody liked Dokken.
I bet you that Dokken has several gold records.
By the way, Motley Crue was a very good band.
No, they're a terrible band.
The Shout at the Devil album, front to back, is excellent. I mean, Looks a Kill is an excellent song. Wild Side's a great song. Dr. Feelgood is an excellent song.
But you're saying...
Home Sweet Home is a great song.
Out of a totality of... their career. I mean, you're pecking at certain songs.
Well, I mean, they have enough to where you have one greatest hits album that rules. Like, pick out 10 songs of theirs that are like, oh, my God. I mean, Kickstart My Heart's a great song. But you're also, if a band has 5 or 6 great songs, they're a good band.
I just don't understand how they became famous.
Well, because they were one of the first that became popular who dressed like women, you know, who had the makeup, and it was the attitude. And it was, of course, the shows. I mean, Tommy Lee, you know, all the theatrics he used to do on his drum kit. When that video came out where he was put in that cage and lifted over the crowd and started flipping over the top of him.
That's the thing. It was all theatrics.
No, but the music was good. I mean,
they have two garbage albums.
If you see, Theater of Pain had Home Sweet Home, though, which is arguably one of their biggest hits.
Okay, so they
it is a very good song.
It had one song. Don't Get Me Smoking in the Boys Room.
But that was a hit.
It doesn't matter. Britney Spears has a million hits. It doesn't mean that she's good. I mean, there's hits right now. They're terrible. I mean, the band that LMFAO or whatever the hell that Gronk liked had a hit.
But they had like 5 classic hair metal songs that define the era. You know, it was like them and... See, I always thought that back in the day, Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue were on like a different level than most of the other hair bands. I thought they kind of set the stage and the rest of them were kind of like Warrant and stuff like that. I thought they were posers. Like Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses were the real deal. They lived the lifestyle. You could tell it wasn't a record company creation. These guys were just like maniacs.
But the thing is that Guns N' Roses A is a different generation. Sort of.
Well, 87 was when Appetite came out.
And
Feel Good probably was 90 or 91.
But Feel Good's their last real record.
It is, but it's also their biggest.
Yeah, true enough. But there's from different times.
But I
okay,
mean, they,
all right.
They,
here's Dokken. They have 3 platinum albums.
Dokken sucked.
But
you're counting Japan, and
no, I'm not.
They're one of those bands that were just like huge in like Asia, but nobody really liked Dokken.
I'll tell you what. The U.S. charts, Tooth and Nail was at 49. Under Lock and Key was at 32. Back for the Attack at 13.
Dan just said they were the 3 Doors Down of hair metal. Like the band, people knew of them, but no one was a real fan of 3 Doors Down. You know, it was like Dokken was one of those bands that it was like under obligation that you had to write about in like Hit Parader and all these hair metal magazines, but no one was really a fan.
Well, I just listened to an Eddie Trunk podcast with Wild McBrown and Don Dokken.
But then again, he like, you know, covers himself in butter when Voivod shows up.
Voivod.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can use Eddie Trunk as a level as to what's
well,
a good
you know,
band.
Like when he interviewed Kix and he's like, you know, the seminal record. You know, a lot of people remaster, but they don't redo a record.
Kix had like 2 good songs, like pretty good songs.
Now here we go.
Cold Blood's a good song. Cold Blood's an all right song. And you know, Don't Close Your Eyes is pretty. It's a pretty good ballad.
Oh, don't get me going. Don't close your eyes.
Don't make your love on the right.
Well, they're back together.
Okay, well, good. I will make sure not to buy a ticket.
But it's funny. So Eddie Trunk is this guy who is like the dude that still really follows. My call screener's not working.
Line 1.
Okay, I have to get it to work.
So, you know the most underrated band of that era, though, was Rat. Like, Rat never got the respect. Like, Rat was a legitimate great band.
Rat had... They had their first 2 albums were
good. Oh, Invasion of Your Privacy was awesome. That was a great album.
And also because there was a girl on like all 4s crawling around on the floor.
Which album was that?
Isn't that
Invasion of Privacy is a girl sitting on a chair, like taking her white stockings off.
Oh, and then there's like a dude climbing like on the floor.
Well, that would make sense if it was called Invasion of Your Privacy.
Right, like I'm peeping.
She just called it like I'm a perv.
Yeah. Well, you know, I read the Stephen Pearcy biography. Also, I read the biography of their drummer,
yes,
which was made at a Kinko's, which had like 5 of the same pages in it. It was on Blotzer Books. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, you're way out of touch on this one, brother. Motley Crue is way above any other hair band of the 80s. This band put out, what, 4 or 5 good albums?
No.
You can't
they don't even think that 2 of the albums are good. They don't think that theater...
Shot at the Devil is probably the greatest hair band album of all time. It's not even close.
It's top five, without a doubt. I mean, that Shout at the Devil is a great album.
The song Shout at the Devil is hysterical.
The song Shout at the Devil is excellent.
Shout.
She's a bone bit and lonely shout. In the night. She's a blood stain on the stage. I mean, dude, that song's great.
Shout.
Shout at the Devil.
Shout at the Devil. Shout.
Yeah.
I think you have to go through your mental library of albums and really recalibrate where that sits.
Shout at the Devil's a great, it's a great album. Looks at Kill's awesome. Too Young to Fall in Love. Oh, my God.
Well, just for the
video.
And
when you were a kid and you heard God Bless the Children of the Beast, you're like, oh, all of a sudden Satan's in the room.
That's not even a song.
I know, but it's so creepy. It was part of the album. It was like, it set the tone of the weirdness. And in the beginning, when, I mean, dude, when you were a kid, that blew you away. But then there were legitimate good songs that stand the test of time.
Yeah. Like when the girls are all in the Looks at Kill video, they're all going, ah.
Well, all the videos
And then the pentagram comes off.
That was hysterical. They used it as a weapon.
Yeah.
Shoot the pentagram off of the drum riser.
And I will give you Too Young to Fall in Love is up there with the Billy Squire video that ruined his career. Too Young to Fall in Love, where they're walking around like what's supposed to be like Hong Kong or something, and they're just like walking around with their leathers on.
Oh, yeah. The videos were cheesy. The albums were great.
And then you can get the Motley Crue Uncensored album or video that shows them all completely wasted, even though at that point Vince Neil had already killed someone in a drunk driving accident, which is one of the more fascinating things.
That's why that movie is insane. I mean, the stuff that happened with that band, and I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Well, the movie's not the book, but I mean, the movie glosses on some of these things.
Too Fast for Love had some good songs.
Too Fast for Love.
Livewire is a great hair song. Oh my God, Piece of Your Action is one of my favorites.
Piece of Your Action is a terrible song.
No, it's not. Piece of Your Action is a really good song.
All right, well, if you're gonna call Shout at the Devil a top five hair metal album, I think you have to go back. And
all right, then what's your top five?
I need time. I need time to sit in.
If you consider Guns N' Roses hair metal, which I guess you have to, I would say Appetite. You got to go Def Leppard Hysteria. That's
no,
a top
see,
five.
I
would go Cult Sonic Temple, because that was during that era, although you can't really call it cult hair metal, but it was like right around then. And then you got to go probably Motley Crue.
See, I think Motley Crue is a bad band. I only think the reason that they got famous is because people thought they were satanic for a minute. That's why King Diamond was so huge. All right, Rich, last night, lots of action. What are we going to talk about?
Chris Sale just gets shelled. Maybe they have a problem.
Oh, please. I'm not worried about anything.
I don't know.
161 games left.
But the Chris Sale thing is interesting.
It is concerning.
How he ended last season and how he's beginning this one.
It is concerning, the velocity drop-off after
the first
inning.
All right, no stats yet. It's called a tease.
He can't hold it back.
It's called a tease. Statting it up yet. Relax.
He had to sit out of the
calm down.
He had to sit out of the Motley Crue conversation. He's raring to go.
Ready to go.
Okay. Let's go. He's got a lot to say. We'll be right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Last night. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
All right, so you may say it's a bad look for Chris Sale to get yanked after three innings opening day, but I say Alex Cora's plan to save those bullets for the postseason is working like a charm.
Just an interesting thing to point out. Did Tim Beckham get him again?
Tim Beckham, slapper, slapper, grang, rom, bing, bong, wackadoo.
That's the new term for it, as a matter of fact.
That is what you say.
Sox got shelled in Seattle 12-4 just days after signing a $145 million extension. Sale gave up 7 runs on 6 hits, 2 walks, and 1 hit guy. He gave up 3 homers, and this was all in only 3 innings. By the way, Sale only allowed 2 homers in his final 83 regular season innings last year. Those 7 runs allowed, they are tied for the most he's ever given up with the Red Sox. But perhaps the scariest thing about his performance was that he hadn't pitched a ton in the last 8 months. As a matter of fact, he's pitched only 17 regular season innings after the last week of July. And in the playoffs, he only pitched 15 innings over 14 games. More concerning is that they just gave a massive contract to a guy who had not pitched more than 5 1/3 innings in any game since July 27th.
Yeah, I thought the contract was dumb. That I did think.
Yeah. Well, however, the future highest paid athlete in America actually looked all right yesterday.
He's got Betts and Devers aboard with one away. And J.D. slashes a base hit into left field. Here's Betts around to score. Throw will be cut off, and one out into the season, the Red Sox have a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, Mookie Betts, he looked good. 3-for-5 with 3 singles and a run scored yesterday. J.D. Martinez as well, going 2-for-5 and driving in that run right there. However, none of that really matters when the pitching staff as a whole looked like garbage, giving up 12 runs, which, fun fact, are the most ever allowed by a defending World Series champion on an opening day in baseball history.
Yes.
You like the stats. I'm getting right at you for your ass, John. Here's Chris Sale on his bad day afterwards.
Yes, you know, it sucks. It's the first one of the year. You want to start off on the right foot. And like I said, we set ourselves up, you know, nicely. 2-0. I'm going out there for the second inning, and God really just deflated us with that. 3 runs, you know, hey, it's a 1-run ball game. Anything can happen. Go back out there and just completely stink the place up. It's not what I needed to do.
Well, Alex Cora was asked about Sale's rough start, and he noticed that there could be a pattern here.
If you compare it to the first start last year, velocity-wise, he hit a few 94, but, you know, last year wasn't 97, 98 either. I do think he tried to go to certain spots and he didn't get it there. Like I said, you know, he wasn't a good one. We have to turn the page. He'll be ready for the next one.
And I saw that, John, his velocity throughout the 3 innings continued to dip, and I think
that's the concerning thing. I mean, whatever. I had an avalanche of people on social media tell me last night that, you know, this is what happens with power pitchers. They're never 98 or 99 until May, and, you know, don't panic. And this is a pattern. The last 2 seasons, he hasn't had any bullets in the gun at the end of the year. One time the Red Sox didn't save him for the end of the season. Last year they did save him for the end of the season. He wound up on the disabled list and wasn't throwing very hard at the end of either year. And this outing, linking that to each of the last 2 seasons, is somewhat concerning. And, yeah, he was 93 or 94 in the first inning, but he was down to 91 in the third and didn't get 1 swing and miss on a fastball the entire 3 innings he was in there. So I think there is some cause for concern here. And you just heard Cora go out of his way to say it's location and not velocity. The evidence is beginning to stack up. And I'm not saying you can't solve this problem. The best pitchers, once they get on the wrong side of 30, have to learn how to pitch a new way, unless you're a physical freak like Verlander, who, by the way, did lose his velocity and then found it again, or Clemens. There are a lot of pitchers that lose their velocity and figure out a way to get outs a different way. And I think Sale is certainly talented enough to do that. But for right now, I think there is reason to be somewhat uncomfortable about where he is.
You faced Beckham twice in
that's a good
back
point.
To back innings.
That's a good point.
Try to keep the ball in the yard.
30-foot homer off you.
Yeah, there's Beckham.
Light hitting shortstop. Yeah.
Well, listen. You know, you got.
He's on fire.
Back.
You're right. He ran into a hot hitter, a real buzzsaw.
By the way, as much praise as this guy got at behind the desk last season, I am out on Alex Rodriguez in the booth. I mean, you want to talk about a bore fest? Now, Jess Mendoza, you know, she is somebody who comes out and she has like a lot of facts. And you can tell that she really does her homework, probably because a lot of people immediately want to rip on her because she's a woman in the booth. Rah, rah, rah. But she's not a colorful personality and someone that's going to bring the yucks or even like bring like a huge amount of energy. You need someone in that other seat that
Matt
balances that out.
Is vanilla. You have Jess Mendoza, who's, you know, vanilla but solid, and you need that third guy.
And he's not it.
Yeah. No, he's not. You try to focus when you got that J-Lo at home. He's engaged to J-Lo.
Yes. I've heard that.
Yeah, you try to concentrate when you got that butt.
So you think
waiting for you at home.
His concentration was just lost. It wasn't that he's just naturally not the right person to be in that booth.
No, he's got J-Lo fever.
Bring back Schilling. Make things interesting.
Honest to God,
keep him away from everything.
Spent an entire inning fawning over Edgar Martinez and calling him Poppy. And oh, it's fantastic.
Came in the booth, too, I mean, how long did that go?
A full inning. They were supposed to have like a half an inning. It felt a lot longer because A-Rod wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, this is always a weird time of the year, and it's not fair to baseball. But I mean, when you're used to watching, you know, something like that game we got the other night against the Rangers, you know, like when you just are in the middle of like the crunch time in hockey, and then you go to baseball, it's like coming down from, I don't know, some sort of high. It's very strange.
Well, there was a lot of slam-a-lama-ding-dongs last night. I don't know what you want.
There was a lot of Jim Dingaroos.
Yeah.
Well, the Reds.
Ding-a, 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 ding-a.
No salamis, huh? We're out on salamis?
Every year I like to switch it up.
Fair enough.
And they're now officially what?
I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Johnny Ding Dong.
It's like Sale. He's learning, you know, on the fly.
I got to figure out
the repertoire. Yeah.
So the Red Sox, they go for win number one tonight, once again in Seattle with Nathan Eovaldi making his season debut. First pitch is at 10:10. Egads, that's going to be a John Wallach special.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes,
don't
it
lie.
Is.
You're going to watch the whole thing.
Maybe a little.
You're going to be sitting there. You're going to be looking at your baseball cards, and the next thing you know, you're going to pop that sumbitch
on. Some baseball cards last night, Fred. Found a new shoebox full of baseball cards last night. I had forgotten I had. I did not have time to look through them. That's going to happen today.
Now, what was going on that you didn't have time?
It was close to bedtime. It was close to 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Well, that's when you get under the covers with a flashlight.
That's right. I should have thought of
and
that.
You start going through it.
Oh, there's this show that my wife has been watching, and so I kind of got fascinated by it. It's on Netflix. Have you heard of this Marie Kondo woman? Okay, it's called this show called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. And what she does is, I guess she's like sold a bunch of bestsellers on how to like fold your clothes and make your house not be completely disorganized. And you have to make sure that, does your shirt give you joy? If not, throw it away. Does this, you know,
That would be a sexual playground for her.
It's porn for women. I mean, it's basically how to keep things neat and tidy. So what this woman does is she goes to people's homes that it's like unbelievably cluttered. They find the worst of the worst. And she has to go in and within like a month make it like completely clean and like looking like you're walking into like a model room in IKEA.
My wife.
Mine too. Loves to purge. So, loves to get everything in garbage bags and toss it to the curb.
There was one episode I watched that I was laughing out loud because they go and this place was just a wreck. This woman is one of these people who goes to those stores like Tuesday morning where it's just knickknacks and crap and buys like $1 million worth of Christmas ornaments in like June just because they're a dollar. So they went into her home and their pool table, you can't see it because it's just covered in nutcrackers. And then you can't even see any of their furniture because it's just got clothes and crap all over it. And so the husband is this dude named Ron. And Ron's just like, I don't even want this woman here. I don't want this Marie Kondo here. Like, he doesn't want none of it, but it's just because his dumb wife is nagging him. You know, that's his whole attitude. So he shows up, and like every room except for his is just atrocious. And so she's like, okay, you need to clean all this stuff for the woman. But his only thing that he's got is this mountain of baseball cards. It is just, I mean, like ceiling to floor, ooh, boxes of baseball cards.
Now you got Johnny's interest.
Hey, now.
The Lubiderm has come up.
And Marie Kondo's like, you got to get rid of a lot of these. You got to do. So at the end, the big reveal, they go into the house, and this woman has like gotten rid of 98% of her stuff. Like, I mean, trash bag after trash bag after trash bag. It's all out in the driveway. You see the garbage collectors show up. You can see every little inch of furniture and rug. And then you go into Ron's room and he's like, F you, I'm keeping my baseball
card. Damn right you do.
The mountain has not moved.
Those are my cards. Back off.
He's still got his baseball card.
Good for him.
It's like, screw you and your knickknacks. I'm keeping my damn baseball card.
That's now what's that show called?
It's called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, and I'm kind of enjoying it now.
What channel is this?
It's on Netflix. It's okay. Like a Netflix thing.
All right.
Oh my God, my wife.
Oh, it's tailor-made.
But then she would get so annoying. Then she would get. We've paid people to come over, or paid a woman to come over to like take care of wires. The patience to do that, like to because my home was set up wrong. Like, the wires were in the walls, like, and it was, like, the day that Bluetooth came out. Mm-hmm. So there's all these wires hanging out. And so this woman came over and spent, like, 3 hours labeling and wrapping up and organizing wires. And I'm like, how could I could spend 2 seconds doing that?
You have to fold your socks to make them feel happy. Like that, like when you go in there, you fold your clothes. And, like, and then she thanks the house for letting the house allow her to come in. And be in its presence. It's so unbelievably awkward, this show.
Well, she tells you how to fold your clothes. I'm sure it goes off without a hitch. I'm sure that there's people, if you come back in a year, everything's been solved. All right, Rich, what else is going on?
Man, no one wants to be an assistant coach for the Patriots, apparently.
Yeah, I got a feeling something's coming out about this one. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help Line ma.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hold me tough.
Great balls of fire. Guess who just crawled out the mouth of Maya? That can make you trust a liar.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. What else is going on?
So apparently no one wants to coach for the New England Patriots. In an offseason where, well, Brian Flores left to become the Miami Dolphins head coach, defensive line coach Brendan Daly was named the Kansas City Chiefs run game coordinator, and cornerbacks coach Josh Boyer moved on to become the Dolphins pass defense coordinator. We now have some pretty shocking news that Greg Schiano has decided to step down as the Patriots D coordinator, even though he was never officially announced as being hired in the first place. Well, there was a statement that he released through the Patriots, so I guess he was hired. And Schiano said, quote, "I have informed Mr. Kraft and Coach Belichick that I am stepping down from my position at the Patriots. This is not the result of any one event, but rather a realization that I need to spend more time on my faith and family. I don't want to look back years from now and wish I had done things differently. Therefore, I'm taking time away from the game to recalibrate my priorities." And to that, Bill Belichick put out a statement saying, quote, "I respect Coach Schiano greatly and appreciate his contributions to our staff and team. He is a friend who we will support completely." And then more than likely, he mumbled something inaudible into a microphone and then stared at reporters for 2 minutes straight. But this is all very weird.
Yes, it seems that there might be more to this than is out right now.
I mean, sometimes when stuff like this happens, obviously there are cases where the other shoe drops the next day and there's other issues going on behind the scenes. It is also strange that this comes in the heels of Wednesday's announcement that Gerard Mayo is joining as the team's linebackers coach. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything, but it's very strange that you had these two kind of big stories happen back to back. Who also knows what the hell's going down there? I just imagine Bill Belichick's going to name himself the coach of everything.
Well, there,
and it will work, and they'll go to another Super Bowl.
No, I've read that there's a possibility of him naming himself
the defensive coordinator. Yeah, I saw Mike Reese, I think, was speculating that yesterday.
Yeah, several people were. But whenever someone says they're taking time off to focus on faith and family, I get a little skeptical.
Yeah.
Just out of the blue.
Didn't Josh Gordon, before he was suspended for about 4 hours, he said, you know, I'm stepping away to focus on my mental health,
he
whatever
did.
The case may
You're
be.
Right. Yes. That's a great
and then
example.
A few hours later, everything fell on top of him. You know,
yeah, if you take a job and then before the season, and listen, if something bad happened in his family, you know, that's what it is. But if you take a job and then before even things get going, you step away.
Yeah, there's no off-season workouts. There's no nothing.
Yeah, you haven't had to really do anything.
You just spend a couple of months introducing yourself to the players that you'll be coaching.
Yeah. I tend to believe if I was a betting man, if I was in with the bankroll boys, that there might be another shoe to drop.
Hasn't he made a decent amount of money?
Shiano?
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's been employed. He should have been the head coach of Tennessee. And he was a defensive coordinator for Ohio State.
And wasn't he head coach down in Tampa?
Yeah.
He was at Rutgers.
Yeah, so Rutgers, and great at Rutgers. Tampa did not do so well with the Buccaneers.
He's
made a lot of money.
Wow. So just in 2012, which was his first year with Tampa, he made $15 million there.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, so he's probably worth about $25 million. He's earned $25 million probably from his working as a coach. And to that, I would say, I mean, maybe you just showed up and you realized that working with Bill Belichick or this position wasn't exactly what you wanted to be. It was going to be a massive pain in the ass. And you're like,
I like
not
to think
it.
That something else is going to
because you don't like Greg Schiano. That's right.
I don't care. It's interesting. I want to see if there's something doing.
No, he was almost a defensive coordinator here last year before they hired Flores. It turned out to be a good move that he didn't come here and Flores did. But, I mean, Belichick has wanted to work with him for a while now.
Yeah.
That much is obvious. So something happened here. It wasn't the first time they discussed a job, and then he came on board. He's a good friend of Belichick's. He was back when he was the coach at Rutgers. I mean, Belichick took half his roster off of him. And these two guys have known each other for a long time. You're telling me he walked in the building and went, oh, this wasn't what I thought at all? I don't think that's the case at all. I think he knew exactly what he was getting into. Something else happened.
Now, why would you have to take time to focus on faith?
Maybe kind of like the chaplain did.
No, but he left because he didn't like the situation with Kraft. And that was his whole point. He's a chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't leave to go focus on faith. He left because he didn't like what was going on in the organization. But if he's Schiano stepping away, I don't know. It seems odd. Seems odd to take a job, and even before it really gets cooking, to step away. We'll see. We'll see what's going on.
Well, speaking of Robert Kraft, a new report from TMZ says that Mr. RKK claims that the police surveillance footage showing him inside that massage parlor is the result of a, quote, unlawful sneak and peek search warrant.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about a judge saying, I looked and I believe you, but I haven't seen anything about a judge saying they weren't allowed to tape.
Yeah, I'll show you that article.
Okay, because I searched for like the Dickens yesterday.
Yeah, so what had happened according to this article was that when the police went to the judge to try to get a search warrant, and they requested a monitor and record search warrant. And instead of getting that, they got back a different option, which was just to monitor. Like on the actual filing, you have to choose different categories. There's monitor and record, which the police applied for, and the judge approved something that was just monitor, which was a different category. So he's basically telling them, you can't record,
right,
but you can monitor them.
See, I've looked at the like eight ways his defense was going to operate and try to fight this video coming out, and I have not seen that.
Okay, I'll give you the article, but this is also, this might help you out too, because
we're going to have a gentleman from, by the name of Daniel Wallach. Wallach's young cousin is going to come on and tell us what he knows about this Kraft thing.
Well, he said, this is according to TMZ, he said Kraft has filed fiery new documents in his prostitution case in Palm Beach County, slamming officials for putting hidden cameras inside massage rooms as ridiculous as a, quote, governmental overreach. They said Florida resorted to the most drastic, invasive, indiscriminate spying conceivable by law enforcement, taking continuous video recordings of private massages in which customers would be stripping naked as a matter of course in order to prosecute what are at most misdemeanor offenses. Kraft says it because we do not live in a police state and that because government must answer to the rule of law, the tapes must never go public.
No, they're going public.
He continued saying, quote, law enforcement had no satisfying justification for going to such extreme invasive lengths just to justify run-of-the-mill suspicion of solicitation. Kraft says because of other evidence collected in the case, including positive semen tests found in the spa's trash, there was no need to plant the hidden cameras to, quote, build a solicitation case around low-level consensual sex acts.
Okay, so they're saying that they found DNA?
This is the first time I've heard that.
Okay, so he's saying I did it, but you have no...
It was
no
consensual. He's saying I did it, but it was consensual.
Okay.
Which I don't... I mean... I
have theorized that he was going to do that. I have theorized that that was... Because he had... I theorized that he's had a prior relationship with those women, and that was going to be something that he did.
So according to this, he says there's more. Kraft also says the narrative about the sting operation targeting human trafficking is BS, since officials have no real facts proving human trafficking ever occurred at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa, which that's something that, I mean, it's true. There's no evidence. Kraft continued to say, quote, law enforcement peddled these falsehoods to try and manufacture a patina of necessity, that's a new word, to put cameras in the massage rooms where none exists. So
what of necessity?
A patina.
How do you spell that?
P-A-T-I-N-A. That is a Chris Gasper in the Boston Globe. You better go Google it word.
That's right. That's flexing his intellectual muscles. That's him saying you want to play mean Scrabble? Think again.
Never heard of that.
All right. Well, it should be interesting. We'll talk to this Daniel Wallach guy. I mean, there is throwing money at this thing. I mean, everything I read is that Florida, this thing should be released, and everything, and then it's just throwing money at it. All right, we will be back. Rich, what will we discuss? There's so much going on.
There was an incident during the Celtics-Warriors game with a fan that we are just now finding out about. Not a good look, so we will get to that.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, and just like that, we back again, little brother. Yeah, Mike, I'm predator.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. By the way, that Gonzaga, Tennessee game last night.
You're Purdue, Tennessee.
Purdue, Tennessee. That was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, what's the name of the big gumpy white dude who just hit all the threes?
Klein.
Yeah.
He, obviously, I'm a huge fan, very familiar with his career. But that must be something to get into that kind of groove. I mean, he at one point, they were like, all right, you're just going to press him and you're not going to let him get off. You're going to just stick on him. And he, like, is not the quickest guy in the world, and he somehow dribbled his way to have a fadeaway.
With, like, a second left on the shot clock, and he had the ball the entire time.
That he nailed.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't miss. That feeling must be unbelievable.
7 of 10 from three. In the biggest game of his life.
Yep. He looked great. And then, of course, they go to overtime, and Purdue just blows it out.
The worst news was that Virginia won. And Virginia plays next to Wisconsin, the most boring brand of basketball in the entire country. Final score, 53-49. That's not exactly... Now, look, March Madness, everyone watches anyway, but that was a game to fall asleep to.
Well,
and
Syracuse
Virginia does
is
that
also really
all
boring.
The time. Well, Syracuse has been playing that 2-3 zone for 35 years.
Yeah, and it's really boring.
I agree. It's horrible to watch, but don't get to Syracuse. Again, we're overrun with Syracuse people in this business. Don't get everyone upset.
It's a really good investment in time.
It's Syracuse, Wisconsin, and Virginia. Three teams you cannot stand to watch in the tournament. And so we got rid of two of them. Now we just have to get rid of Virginia so we can all enjoy things.
Is Joe still getting his ass kicked, Joe Murray? Because I know that the first couple of rounds, he did not have a very good run. So, I don't know. We'll have to see how he did last night. Well, a Celtics fan has reportedly been banned from the TD Garden through the end of next season for directing a racial slur at DeMarcus Cousins. This apparently happened on January 26th when the Warriors made their only visit to Boston. It was actually a guy named Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports who broke this story yesterday in an interview.
You know, I was told by league sources that the incident occurred while the Warriors were in Boston. January 26th, that game. During that game, there was a fan who muttered the M-word at DeMarcus Cousins. And I was told DeMarcus informed one of the team security guys, and they got a hold of the security team there at TD Garden. They took care of the fan, but I was told that ultimately that fan was banned for the rest of this season and next year. So he received a 2-year ban. This has never been disclosed before. You know, I was told that, you know, the Warriors and DeMarcus were just informed about that recently. And so I think what the league wants to do moving forward is make sure they do a better job and being more informative and communicative with the players in the team, because as we've seen with DeMarcus when he spoke with me during the podcast, you know, he said he felt like he had to say something and complained to the league and nothing was done. All the league did was say, well, you know, make sure you don't say anything back.
Just to give you a backstory on Chris Haynes, in case you might not have heard of him, he was the guy who broke the Gordon Hayward story, and everyone else backed away from him. Remember July 4th a couple of years ago? He was the guy that said the Celtics had signed Gordon Hayward, and everyone said, no, that's not true.
And
he stuck to his guns, and he was right, and he was working for ESPN at the time and got a more prominent role with ESPN and is now with Yahoo. I mean, this is a guy who is good at what he does.
So the Celtics haven't made any comment on this, because you don't know whether it was the Celtics or the TD Garden that ended up suspending him. All I know is that apparently someone had the court jester come out and give the letter of disinvite.
Yes.
You are no longer allowed.
Actually, it's easy not even to no enforce.
No,
I guess easier in an 18,000 seat building than a 60,000.
Yeah, there's
seat
no
building,
way to enforce that.
No, you're right. I mean,
you couldn't probably buy tickets online,
right?
But
using your credit card, you probably couldn't. But I mean, someone else could buy them for you.
No, that's what I'm saying. You probably couldn't use your credit card. But I mean,
running facial recognition software through there.
No, but also if I'm the guy who did it, I mean, you really want to go back there?
That's a good point.
I mean, go back there where you've been banned and where, you know, there's going to be staff that remembers you did it. I mean, they're going to remember who it is.
I almost think the amount of games that you get is dependent on how old you are. Like, if this is like some dumb 18-year-old or something like that, like, I could see a few games because people make stupid mistakes, even like that. But if you're like a 40-year-old dude and you're saying that, just 1.5 seasons doesn't seem like enough. You
know what I mean? You're 80.
If you're 80, well, then maybe that's the other part of the scale. It's just like, oh, it's grandpa. He doesn't have a filter anymore.
A lifetime ban if you're 80.
It's a good point. That essentially is a season and a half. You
know? Yeah, there's, I don't know.
We don't know everything, but I mean, you know, just on the surface, when you hear it's like a year and a half, you're like, not even a year and a half. I guess it is a year and a half. You're kind of like, all right, well, that seems... Well, like, not enough. If someone's just yelling the N-word at players.
I've never told this story on the air. I've told you guys off the air. But I went, when I lived in Detroit, I was home one summer from college. And we had tickets to, like, a preseason Lions game at the Silverdome. It was the Jets-Lions. And so we're sitting behind the Jets bench. Now, at a preseason game, I mean, you're indoors. It's Pontiac, Michigan. And there's probably about 8,000 people at the game. Mm-hmm. So we're all been drinking, and this one kid that we're with is hammered. And Ronnie Lott at the time was on the Jets, and he's standing on the sidelines, and so this kid starts going, "Hey, Ronnie Lott, you suck. Hey, Ronnie Lott, F you." And then he's like, "Hey, Ronnie Lott, you N-word."
Oh. And how far are you from this guy?
Oh, boy.
Not far.
Oh, my God.
And so me and my friend just got up and said, "See you later."
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting the hell out of here.
Oh, you leave.
Yep.
Like,
I swear on a stack of Bibles, me and my friend Jay looked at each other and went, "Okay, goodbye.
Yep.
Get away from me. I'm not with you. You stay away. I don't want anything to do with this."
And you know what else?
It was this feeling of, like, an eruption of panic going up your spine. Do you ever
get
that feeling?
Hot.
Like hot panic up your spine.
You see, there'd be one of two reactions. It would either run the other way or immediately start pointing at the dude. Wasn't me.
No, I don't think anyone thought it was me because I wasn't standing up and swaying around.
However, I mean, people don't, they're not looking at you. They're looking at the game, so they turn their head real quick.
I got out of there.
And you're the one walking away, so it almost looks like, you egged the house and ran.
I'm walking away. I didn't do it. I'm getting the hell out of there. I'm not giving anyone any opportunity to think it's me because it was not me. Oh boy!
Was
that dumb? I mean, it like reverberated through the Silverdome.
No, it seemed like it did.
That happened to me one time.
It seemed like it did. Yeah,
I went to a college baseball game, which there's always a lot of like razzing, but people know where the line is. And the other thing is that when you say something, everyone can hear it because I think the game I was at, it might have had like 500 people that were there. And there was a drunk like fraternity guy who was near us, who was a friend of mine, but he was like two rows behind us. And he started yelling stuff, and it was kind of funny at first, and then it turned into like wildly over the top homoerotic stuff.
Yeah.
And that's when everyone just starts going, "Dude, shut up." And he just kept drinking.
I didn't even say shut up.
How well did you know this guy?
I went to high school with him.
Okay,
but he wasn't my best friend.
Okay.
But I mean, I knew him.
No, I understand. What I'm saying is, if that's like a good friend of yours, you're like, that's it. You're done.
It was not. I would not call him a good friend. In fact, I recently saw him, and his wife claims to not remember me from high school, which I thought was an indignity that I did not stand for because I was basically Fonzie in high school. She sat right down there and told my wife she didn't remember me, and I said, "Your husband." At one point, yelled the N-word at the Pontiac Silverdome, and I skedaddled like there was no one's business. I think we might have left them there.
Oh, you have to. You can't come back. You can't come back to those seats.
I left the whole stadium. You can't. No, I'm not standing there like an idiot.
No, I'm saying like I wouldn't even like. Do you have to go to different seats?
No. I left. I just left. Me and my friend Jay just walked out of the Silverdome, got in a car, and got the hell out of there. I'm getting out of Dodge. Well, if you don't think, let's talk about this for at least a little bit. If you don't think that baseball players are responsible with their children, there is.
It's a member of the Red Sox.
It's a member of the Red Sox that's going to make you rethink that. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.